Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. Wake up, Hollywood. How are you? I'm with my co-host of co-hosts, indeed, the sexy vegan himself, Mr. Brian Patton. Say hello.
Here I am. Hello.
Our studio audience loves you already.
I love that studio audience.
They remember you from a couple weeks ago.
They're an easy crowd. They really are.
They're an easy sell.
They are. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for coming back. We appreciate it. Yes. Eddie's got a big audition we can't talk about.
So, we can't talk about it, no.
We'll just talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
How was your week?
My week was good. We had the Mother's Day.
Did you have that? Of course.
Do you do a nice thing
actually,
for your
mommy? Actually, Brian, I celebrate my mom every day.
You got me.
I'm sorry you only have one day, but I'm just kidding. Right. No,
What do you do? What do you do nice?
Well, we just go out to brunch, and then we get her little gifts and cards and, you know, chocolates, whatever think is the most appropriate for the time.
But sure.
Did your mom come into town?
My mom, she was kind of in town last week, so we kind of celebrated a little last week, but, you know, I got bigger fish to fry. My wife is a mother.
Yeah, that's right.
And I live with her, so
that's right.
I got my mom like a bracelet and a Starbucks gift card or something.
That's cool. That's good.
Cool. Yeah, it's good. But you know, the wife is the one who needs the attention, so that's the one where I have to put my energy forth.
Of course.
So I had like this lightning bolt in my brain.
And your baby's too young to cook or do any of that.
Well,
stuff.
I'll tell you what he's not too young to do. Finger paint.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So my genius, I didn't even have to see this on Pinterest. I came up with this on my own. Just wait.
Really?
So I got this big poster board. I got this. That's what he sounds like when I squeeze him.
I know. That's what I expect.
So I got a big piece of poster board, and I got some stupid finger paints or something. And I just put it on there, and I just said, go to town. And he just like, spread it all over the place. And I'm like, this is awesome. And then... But my idea was I did this collage in a frame. So as he was painting, I took pictures of him painting.
Ah.
And I put like a little stupid hat on, like a little painter hat, like a French type beret. He did look – he was very serious about it. So I took pictures of him painting. I took pieces of his painting, and then I put them in a collage in a frame, and it was like boom.
That's amazing.
I won. I definitely won.
So she must have been very impressed.
She was so impressed.
All the theatrics.
She was very impressed. She's like, did you see this on Pinterest? I was like, nope.
You're like, I am Pinterest.
I am Pinterest.
Pinterest analog, baby.
But yeah, that was a huge, you know.
We salute you.
Yes, I deserve salute.
You made it happen.
But that wasn't it. I had a last minute... Another brainstorm, like on the day, like she went. It was like at nighttime. She went to Burke Williams to get the massage, spa treatment. You know, the whole thing, and so I'm walking by her bathroom, and I remember that she was grossed out. Like her bathroom was all like dirty. Like she hadn't been cleaned in a while.
Ooh.
And I was like,
That's bad.
It's not really my responsibility, but. Yes, isn't that interesting? So I'm like, all right. I'm going to clean her bathroom while she's gone.
Nice.
And then I was like,
you're like, I'm going to.
And then I was like, I'm going to get drunk and clean her bathroom while she's gone. And then I was like, sweet. So I got drunk and cleaned her bathroom. Sounded kind of like that. That's what happens when I open the little tonic. I don't drink beer. I drink gin and tonic. I need it fast.
That's a lot of beer.
Very fast. That is a lot of beer. But I got drunk and cleaned her bathroom, and it was like a win-win.
Was it when you started sobering up? Did you look at the bathroom and you're like, oh, actually, I did clean the bathroom. Or was it like, oh my God, who put crayons all over her
bathroom? No. It was very clean. There's one thing, as a chef, like half of my job is to know how to clean.
Right.
That's so true. I know how to clean.
That's true.
I don't like it, but I can do it in my sleep.
But did you also disinfect?
Oh, I got all the antibacterial, whatever
you
got.
You went to town.
I went to town. I probably took a couple years off my life. I don't know what those chemicals are, but I didn't care. I was drunk and having fun and cleaning, and it was just like a win-win. She, you know, I got to get drunk and not get yelled at.
And I'm surprised she wasn't like, Brian, our neighbor said you cleaned their bathroom so well. You're like, no,
maybe in my college days that would have happened. But no, I get credit for a really good thing. And then she wins because she comes home and, oh, a surprise bathroom. And then also she doesn't have to have sex with me because I was passed out. So it was like a win for everybody. But so anyway, that was Mother's Day, and I think that I pretty much knocked it out of the park, and I got to get drunk. I think everybody wins, really.
You talking about getting drunk, it reminds me of a time that you came to one
Why
of our shows. You got super hammered, and I think it may have been one of your parties.
It was at one of my parties.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
And you passed out, mm-hmm. and we had stacked a bunch of cups on your forehead.
I passed out upright, sitting upright in the chair.
That's right.
Which was a thing
that I used
to do.
But you were so still.
I was. I sleep hard.
And I'll never forget it. Like, everybody had left, and it was just Boise and myself.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we kept on putting, like, the most ridiculous things.
You put maracas in my hands.
Because you were playing a video game. Yeah. You fell asleep with your hands just, like, holding nothing, basically. So we put two maracas in your hands.
Yeah.
Well, I remember putting, like, we probably put maybe 200 coins just on your lap. So when you did get up, it would just be like, clankety-clank,
clank. That's what happened, yeah. I think there was a pizza box involved.
There was a pizza box involved. Yes, there were some plastic
cups. And that's not the only time that's happened to me, actually. It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. But those days are behind me now. Never
hope.
Went that far.
We hope.
Thank you for, I'm glad I brought
no,
it.
No, no, but you know what? That's all in good fun.
Yeah, that was great.
I have to say, it was pretty amazing that you were so, like, you're one of those sleepers that you just didn't move, you know?
I was impressed
by that.
Thank you.
And then the second thing, I was also impressed that you never woke up when we were doing all these shenanigans with you.
I told you, when I sleep hard.
You sleep hard. Sleep hard. So you had a good Mother's Day.
I did have a good Mother's Day.
That was her first or second Mother's Day?
That was her second Mother's Day.
That's pretty special. She must be like,
it's fairly special. Yeah, I'd say it's special. But then now I got my special day coming up, Father's Day.
That's right.
But I get screwed twice a year.
Wait, why?
Here's why.
Talk to me.
My birthday, I get screwed, and Father's Day, I get screwed.
Dude.
Because.
Oh, dude, I know. Settle down.
I know the audience is feeling for me, but, like, my birthday is 2 days after Valentine's Day, and Father's Day is 2 days after her birthday. So I don't have any, like, relaxing week before leading up to my special days. Right. Like, I gotta be doing shit.
And then
leading up to my birthday, like for Valentine's
Day. Well, my birthday is like that with Christmas, but still, that's cool because everybody's at chill, chill.
I got to be doing stuff, being active in my brain, thinking of stuff to do for her when I should be relaxing. And then I get like one day, like, oh, sweet, this is my day. And then it's over. And then that's it.
And then, so what are your big hopes for this Father's Day in case the missus is listening?
To get drunk and watch her clean my bathroom.
Dream big.
That's all I got. I do. I don't have that much time to come.
Well,
up
my
with
mom
dreams.
She wanted an orchid for Mother's Day, and I went to the store and I found the most ginormous orchid I could find. I mean, it was like there was like a big branch behind it, and it had all kinds of orchids. So I was like, she's either going to live in this little potted adventure, or she's going to not have any place to put it. But either way, I think I did good.
You did good. All right, that's good.
Fun. No, but, flowers, it's nice. It's nice to celebrate moms.
Yeah, I mean, moms.
You know, moms don't get enough celebration, and they do a lot.
They
you
do.
Know,
they do.
My mom, personally, you know, she's probably listening right now. But my dad used to spank me a lot when I was a kid because I was a mischievous kid. I mean, I was a monkey child, pretty much. But she was always the one that would come in and be like, "You want a little piece of chocolate?"
Oh,
I'd be like, yeah,
she's
yeah,
the enabler.
That sounds great.
Oh, the enabler. The helicopter mom.
Yeah, dude. It was the best. It was the best. It was like, I got a spanking, but now I'm eating a Snickers bar. And that's pretty cool. So I love to celebrate my mom. I do love to celebrate my dad and bring up stories like this. You know, it's kind of like every Father's Day or Mother's Day, I tell them something that they may have not known.
I see.
Maybe a test that was you know, put under the bed that they never saw, a report card.
Did you tell your mom something this year?
I didn't tell her anything this year, but I have told them things every year, pretty much. So
almost every year.
But now it's becoming like, I got a lot of things to tell them. So I've given them already a lot of stuff just this year alone. So I think they're covered for the next couple Mother's Days and Father's Days.
Right.
But other than that, I saw the Avengers movie. Have you seen the Avengers movie?
Oh, I have not seen the Avengers movie. Actually, haven't seen the first Avengers.
Oh, really?
I kind of fell asleep halfway.
Well, it's one of those.
It was
movies.
Long. It was long,
dude. This movie was long too. I saw it at 3 p.m. and I started dozing a little bit.
But
it was a fun movie. I got to talk to you about something real quick.
Okay, let's talk.
Did you see the Star Wars trailer?
Of course. Like, what 15 did you?
Because you're like one of the diehard Star Wars fans, like Eddie and myself.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of the Star Wars trailer?
I mean, both trailers really. Like,
we only have an hour, Brian.
All right. Anything like when I hear the music,
I know
the first notes of the music, I get
awesome.
Chills.
It's,
you know, so I couldn't give you. Yes, I couldn't give you an unbiased critique.
Well,
like, but I loved it.
But I mean,
course,
I know
I
sometimes
I
when you've seen the other three movies and you were like, oh my god.
Oh no, the first three. I don't. You mean the?
You don't count those.
Episode one, two, three. I don't count those.
Yes,
those did not happen. So yeah,
especially one.
Because I remember, when those movies were coming out, I had such excitement. Again, when the first time I saw that trailer and it opened, it was like that Lucasfilm, and there was like the sound, and I'm like oh my god, because like when my parents went to see. The first Star Wars, when I was like in utero, my mom was pregnant with me when they saw the first Star Wars in 1977.
Crazy.
So there's something in me like lightsabers might have been
you
the first sound that
Jedi.
I had. Yeah, seriously. So
you loved it.
Just the sounds. Yeah, the sounds. When I hear the blaster sounds, when I hear the TIE fighters,
the best.
When I
it's
all
the
that
best.
Stuff, it just
it's
gives me chills. And then of course at the end you got
I'm immediately
Chewie
transported to being 5 years old again.
Yeah,
that's how great it is. It's
and
like,
those episodes 1, 2, and 3 did not do that. They just annoyed.
I think this next movie is going to seriously kick ass. Like,
yeah,
I think it's
going to
be ridiculous.
They did a great job with the Star Trek. I'm a huge Star Trek fan
too.
So
me
I thought those Star Trek movies were great. And
only
I
a couple months.
Be great.
Only
I know.
A couple months.
Christmas.
Oh, you know the day.
Oh, I'm aware.
You're there.
I'm aware. Yeah.
So you probably already have a ticket.
Not yet, but.
Well, it looks. I see our special guest
that's
has arrived.
Oh,
Mr.
You
may come in.
You know, you're the first one that's actually asked if they can come in
well,
after
I
they.
I couldn't tell the door if the doorbell was working or not.
The doorbell was
it a few times.
Is he perhaps a vampire?
It's a little. It's on a delay.
Oh yeah, I can hear it just fine. Well, great.
So Andrew Samples, I met you at the songwriting school recently at a songwriting workshop. Tell us how you got into music and where are you from. Tell us your age.
Well, I was hoping we weren't done yet talking about Star Wars.
Come on in.
We're not done.
Yeah, let's continue with Star Wars.
I just wanted to say I did see the Avengers. Gosh, now
sorry,
I know how it feels.
I wish I had a Chewy sound like
twice. I did see the Avengers movie. I thought it was aight, but
was
the best
aight.
Part about it was the new Star Wars trailer. Way different in the theater than just watching
dude.
It.
Oh,
man.
I
totally agree.
Chills, man.
Me too.
Oh,
I got chills right now
up,
thinking
I was
about
just
it.
Like, yes.
Yeah, and it was in 3D. It was on IMAX. It was like, oh my god, this is not my computer.
Oh, wow.
I was ready to leave the theater. After
that. Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. Anyway. I agree. Well said. High five for that.
So anyway, the Avengers movie. Do I need to go see this or do I need to wait till?
I'll tell you this. Okay, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
You need to see it in the theater, because otherwise, what's the point of seeing a movie like
that
in the theater? Like,
yeah.
You see a movie like that, but Chinese man theater, IMAX, and 3D.
Hollywood.
Oh man,
I'm sorry.
So
I know this is Wake Up Hollywood, but I don't live near there.
I wait to see if there's a great sci-fi movie or special effects movie.
Yeah, I guess
just for that theater. I mean, it is the best theater to see. I mean, that's where I see all the Star Wars.
Everybody's eating, they're making sounds.
No, but see, you go on like a weekday. Go on a weekday.
Oh yeah, weekday.
And nobody's there. There's no rush. It's not even sold out. It's perfect. You get,
is that cool? Like for a 1.5-year-old to come with me for a 2.5-hour movie?
Yeah,
okay,
come
good.
On.
Well, I was
going to
say, the older I get, it's like my friends, you know, you have a wife and a kid?
Yeah.
Don't go see it.
Yeah.
You're never going to get around to it. I'm not going to waste your time by telling you and hoping that you go.
Well, it's fun. It's worth seeing. And you know what? If you're going to see a movie like that, you might as well see it in IMAX and 3D.
Okay, all right.
Because the technology, I mean, it's advanced a lot. You know that we've probably seen some pretty shitty movies growing up in theaters, and we were wowed.
Yes, definitely.
To see like the technological advances,
right?
It's pretty incredible. I mean, there are times I was like, dude, I feel like I'm in the movie.
Right.
Where's my cape? I need my cake.
I understand. I just don't like to go out.
Okay, well, it's good that you're a Star Wars fan. All right, if you weren't, I was going to kick you out of the show. But I'm just kidding. Yeah. So, Andrew, where are you from? How did you get into music? When did you start playing? Let's start rattling it off.
Let's do it. I grew up in a little town called Cookeville, Tennessee.
All right. Dude, no Tennessee accent, though.
A little bit.
No, I hear an accent.
I hear an
accent.
Okay.
I get excited.
See?
I heard it.
Yeah.
I grew up in Cookeville, Tennessee. I got into music. Well, you know, I took piano lessons from the lady that taught music at our church, of course. Uh-huh. And you know, I enjoyed taking the lessons to a point, but it was always an issue of like, Andrew, it sounds great, but you're not playing what's on the page. My ears were totally taken over.
And you're like, so what? Maybe I am Mozart.
It does sound great. Mm-hmm. All this other crap sucks.
Of course.
Yeah. The performances, gosh, those were the worst. But you know, like rock music, the culture, really getting into that. I feel like my passageway was the drums. When I first got a drum set, like, you know, I finally got around, like, I don't want to do this piano lesson anymore. I had these nunchucks. I took the chain off the center of them.
And like, I would sit in front of
the couch, set up the pillows, and, like, I was ready.
But what if ninjas attacked you?
I was ready to go.
What if ninjas attacked you? What were you going to do then?
Yeah.
Play them a beat. I was going
to
beat
them. Hey, ninjas, dance to this!
That's a good plan.
I'm going to beat them up.
What rock music did you first hear that kind of steered you in that direction?
Besides Fraggle Rock.
Like, my first CDs that I got was like the BMG. You take the penny to the thing. And that, funny
you get
enough,
like
was like
30 CDs.
Boys to Men 2 and Melissa Etheridge.
That was my first CD.
It was a weird mix.
Yes, that's my first CD was Boys to Men.
Yeah. I just met Sean at NAMM. Awesome. I was like, this is awesome.
You were in NAMM?
Dude, I was NAMM.
Oh, the music thing. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, but that I was like that too. It was one of my first CDs. Yeah. I was like,
I got that in Aerosmith's Greatest Hits in my first two CDs. Yeah. Weird. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, go back to you.
So when I first was like, this is me. This is the rest of my life. That was Weezer's Blue Album.
Good record.
I tore it up.
Yeah.
And it was all uphill from there.
You're like,
downhill. I forget that. I always forget that expression as well. Because uphill sounds like it's harder, but it also sounds like you're getting better.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's also, that's the journey. You have to work to get to, you know, the downhill.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, right. Okay.
It's been uphill.
So, let me ask you, was that the record that made you want to play guitar?
Yeah, I think so. Probably.
Like, I don't want to be in the back.
So
I want to be in the front.
All drums from that. I had just a natural ability to, like, for rhythm. So, I would just play anything I could play. I was playing. On the drums, I remember Aerosmith being a big influence for me.
Joey
Kramer in and out on everything I could. The guitar kind of came, you know, I mean, I think I would have eventually gotten around to playing guitar, but how it happened in my life was that I had a stepbrother who had a guitar that he never played, and it had like the built-in amp on the guitar.
Oh, nice.
Silly. It was silly.
No, but that's cool when you're learning.
Yeah. Right.
It's not cool when you get good.
Yeah. It was never strung correctly. It always had like 2-3 strings on it. And I didn't have anybody to teach me or show me, but I would take it and I would just take it, you know, to myself in private. And I would just, you know, start learning songs that I liked. At that time, it was like Bush. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of that.
It's not that kind of show, Andrew.
That was Bush's second album, I forget.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. Razorblade Suitcase, actually.
Oh, nice. There you go.
So, yeah, it was that. And I was just figuring out one string, then I moved to two strings. Then Presidents of the United States came around, and they were all about playing with the two strings.
Right.
I said, all right, I can do this. I just feel like culture kind of like lifted me up and just set me out. I have a natural ability to hear things well, so I just use
that's
my ears.
That's the true art of music.
Well, do you come from a musical family, or?
Yes and no. I mean, there's some musicians in my family, my immediate family. Yeah, I mean, my sister took piano lessons too. My mother might have as a kid, but no. No one takes it as seriously as I do.
I think everybody from Los Angeles thinks if somebody says they're from Tennessee, it's just like a family jam on the
porch.
That's
what I was picturing. I was picturing like mandolins.
A lot of overalls.
Overalls and banjos.
I think that's more North Carolina.
Right.
Maybe I need to move to North Carolina then, man. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throwing some cornbread and I think I may have found my safe haven.
There you go.
Yeah. It's great.
So you started playing guitar at what age?
So that probably would have been around 7th grade-ish.
So you were like, I'm done with chicks. I just want to play guitar. I want to play.
No, you play guitar to get chicks.
Well, yeah, but you have to go through the phase of like, I don't want to talk to girls so I can play guitar so I can talk to girls later.
Oh, I see, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, I was obsessed with thinking about girls, but I was scared as hell of them.
You know, I've never asked anybody this, and I've had a lot of people that have been on the show. Like, for me, it was like a serious spark when I started playing guitar. And I played piano. I played clarinet, but that doesn't count. Thanks, Pops, awesome. For that. He's probably laughing here, though. But, you know, when I started playing guitar, it was like a spark. Like, did you have like an emotional or like some kind of like out of body experience that made you feel like that instrument was different? Because for me, that's how it was. It was something. It's like I said, this is going to be something different than anything else.
Yes, I did for guitar, and it was slightly different. But I really had that playing drums.
Drums, yeah,
I could really see had that because the music was in my head. I wasn't just playing beats; I was playing two songs
and with the bands. Yeah,
yeah, I think that's really what helps me be a good songwriter. I find out that producers or songwriters that play the drums, they have a special thing. Like they got that rhythm, that feel, but they're great drummers because they're playing to the song.
Right. But you live in the song that way. I think the best drummers are the ones that listen to songs like that, I think, too. Not just like, I can't wait to play this fill, here it goes, boom. You know, like, I think it's definitely just absorbing music and just being in it, you know. Oh, I was just curious. I'd never asked that question before, so I thought I'd throw a little curveball at you.
Spark was always... It always feels good, you know, when you figure out a new song or when you write a new song.
Or that moment where you're like, I just learned four chords. I learned the entire rock and roll library.
Right.
When you discover that, you're like, oh my God, it's just G, C, and D. What's that? E minor? Okay, cool. What's next?
But that's a great feeling. Now I can play like 800,000 songs.
And it's almost like, you know, there was a point where I started getting disappointed. Like I was like, oh, it's just G, C, and D.
Yes, totally.
And now it's totally reversed. I'm like, man, it's just G, C, and D.
They did so much with those three chords.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I love that.
I kind of went through that as well. Like, I would listen to, like, I don't know, like, AC/DC or something. And, you know, their chord progressions.
You could say Jewel. It's cool.
No, it was very... Okay,
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
But anyway, the chord progressions were, like, really simple for their, like, big rock songs. And I'd be like, oh, that's lame. But now I listen to them, I'm like, you know, they're doing something really great with that. And Tom Petty, too.
Yep.
Tom Petty, like, I saw him recently. They played the Staples Center, wherever, the Forum. And, you know, his songs are really, you know, four chords, six chords maybe, nothing crazy. He's got like a billion songs that everybody knows and loves.
And he's great.
And he does it so...
And he's great.
He's
like a... I think he's like a part of American history.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like...
He's been in my life since I've been alive. Like, he's
he was one of my first
there.
Concerts, actually. Yeah, I think he was my first concert. But anyway, so you just haven't... You got a new record coming out?
I just finished. I recorded, I produced, I performed it all. My debut album.
Nice.
Dream come true. Yes,
wow.
I did. It's
That's awesome. That's a good feeling.
It is great. I'm very
Congratulations,
proud of
sir.
Let's
I
give
do
you an
see
applause
you.
For that. Hey, studio audience, loves already.
You seem to be playing a banjo on the back of this CD.
Tennessee.
I like that. I'm a banjo guy.
And you took your band picture on a porch. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So how long did it take from the beginning to end to starting the record, working on the record, and finishing it when it was in your hands?
Yes, I first tracked the drums. I started the record recordingly speaking on March of last year. So just over a year.
And did
process.
You play on everything? Did you play?
I did.
Wow.
I had a friend do a couple piano on a few of the tracks, some piano tracks, and I had another friend of mine do saxophone on three of the tracks.
Wow, that's awesome.
But other than that, I did.
So this is called The Alchemist.
Yes, that's correct.
And what is there a, you know, a theme to this album? Is there an overall sort of thing?
There is a little bit of a theme.
Because you can't really call something The Alchemist and just have it be like just random songs put together. It seems like it should be some sort of... thing.
Definitely. You know, it's partly inspired by the book The Alchemist, which I don't know if you've read, by Paulo Coelho.
I have read that book.
I've not. I do love it. I'm aware of its existence.
It's a good book. Very positive.
Yeah, it was a great book, and it had a lot. It was very inspiring to me. I read it maybe in the middle of recording this album, and at that time I was like, didn't know what I was going to call it, but I knew the general theme of my record which is, you know, the lyrics are personal and it goes through and it's about, you know, my struggle of this was my dream and I always wanted to do it. And I kept, I played in bands in Nashville and toured all the time and music was always part of my life. But what I really wanted to do was this, to play my songs, to write, to not be so scared to like show it to the world. And I think that held me back for a very, very long time. In the sense of alchemy, about where, you know, the old what are they called? Scientists? I don't know.
Take your time.
you know, where they're wizards, trying to turn lead into gold. And like that, that it could be done. And so in a way, you know, this I have turned my lead into gold.
Gold.
But yeah, but that's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Getting up and getting it done.
Well, let's have you play something, man. Okay, what are you going to play for us today?
I'd love to do that. I'm going to play kind of an upbeat song called Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast.
Here it is on Wake Up Hollywood from Coast to Coast. Here's Coast to Coast.
Space Ghost.
From Andrew Samples.
Cool.
Clapping in there. I like it.
Did I? I don't know what that means.
Very,
okay.
Very catchy tune. I like it.
Cool.
Love the voicing of the chords. Love the little single note lines. Very groovy.
Very.
I like it. This kid can write a tune.
Yes, absolutely.
So what was the inspiration behind it?
That one is just a simple, like, you know, it's when it's fun to first be in love. You have all those feelings. You're excited, you know, but you're still, like, not sure if you deserve to feel that way, I guess.
Isn't that weird?
That's one of the, you know, it's a lighter one. It's fun.
No, yeah. But it's cool. It's like jovial, but it has some depth to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a fine line between like writing an upbeat song and then having some depth to it too. Because like sometimes people can be like, I just want to write sad songs that just are so deep. And sometimes I get bored with that. Right. Like, how much can you really hear?
Well, I think it's a difficult thing to take something that's really, you know, really deep and meaningful to you, and maybe play it in a catchy way, or write it in a way that's going to be pleasing to the ear, and not just like a droning on, like, I'm so miserable. But
you and I were both grooving. We're like,
oh yeah, absolutely,
this is grooving. Yeah.
No, I don't know if anything I said made sense there. I don't know much about
you
music.
Never really do, but that's okay.
That's pretty much what it was. But yeah, no, I think that's a skill.
I like it. So tell us, where are you playing? Where are you going out and touring? Are you doing any of that good stuff?
Yes, as of now, I am playing on the 19th at Bar Lubitsch, I think it's pronounced.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where's that?
You know, it's pronounced, everybody says it's a different way.
Yeah.
Lubitsch. Isn't it in West Hollywood?
Yes.
I say it Lube.
Yes, Lube.
Yeah.
Lubitsch. Yeah,
that's what I say.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
To each their own. That's a really fun place. I actually have done a gig there many times.
Cool. I have not played there, so I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be on the 19th with two other songwriters from the Songwriting School of Los Angeles. So, yeah, that's going to be fun.
May 19th, right?
May 19th.
What time are you playing?
Tuesday at 8 o'clock sharp.
8 o'clock. All right. You see that?
Very nice.
That's in Los Angeles, West Hollywood, to be specific. And you just had a CD release party, right?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, well, when's your CD release party?
The CD comes out this Friday.
Oh, I like that. Yes. It's debut, people. Oh, our studio audience is all leaving with a copy, too. You!
You get a copy. You get his guitar. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Giving it all
away.
You
get Brian Squeeze toy. All right. I'm just kidding. All right. A little out of hand. That's okay.
Yeah, so it's coming out this Friday. Super pumped. You can get it on, you know, iTunes. You can listen on Spotify if you need to do that first. But then buy it on iTunes. And I'll be selling physical copies with this awesome artwork that I worked so hard
to
make and produce.
Don't give it away for free. All right, don't
I
be that artist.
Give that away for free.
Because I tell artists, they're like, give me some advice. I'm like, don't give away your music for free. Mm-hmm. Don't ever do it. Just don't. Yeah. Don't do it. How many free CDs have you listened to that you love? And then they go, totally. But then how will my music get out there? I'm like, play.
Yeah, I always heard that, you know, yes. In college, I studied audio engineering, and it was always like when you have an artist come in, you know, like you should always make them pay you at least with a pizza or whatever you can do, because they will appreciate what you did for
them
more.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Where's the pizza?
I agree.
Yeah. Where's the pizza?
You know, you should have our radio shows, too.
Yeah.
Actually, I had pizza tonight, so it's okay.
I did not, so I would like some. Especially some
vegan
pizzas.
Brian can have my pizza. Yeah. Well, let's play something from the record. What are you playing?
Okay.
Cool. Well, let's play the song called Personal Legend. It opens up the track.
Yeah. I like the modesty.
Nice shot.
Oh, I got it in there?
No.
No,
it was really close.
I made it last week.
That was like a 10-footer.
I couldn't see.
It was a 10-footer water bottle.
Here it is, Personal Legend by Andrew Samples. Very nice.
Really beautiful very song. Big sound. Big, seriously, big sound.
So awesome. Very big Fleet sound. Foxes meets Coldplay. I love it. I really dug it. How did you decide the instrumentation for this song?
Yeah.
Brian's like, give me the goods.
I'm just, there's just so many things going on.
Easy there, Brian.
Easy.
The instrumentation is actually very simple on that song. It's the song was written on guitar, acoustic guitar, and I laid that down after drums. The acoustic guitar I laid down first. And then just a bass, keys, and piano.
Awesome.
Electric guitar.
Mm. No, but what was cool about it was like so seamless. Like the groove was just like ever just pleasant, you know. So just like, I could just be on a boat and listen to this.
Ooh,
and just,
that would be nice.
And just go, just travel,
nice.
Just see the world.
Like, when you listen to your songs, do you like picture yourself in different? Like when you're driving,
picture yourself in a boat on a river.
When you're riding in a car, you know, you could kind of look out the window and like. Any song will work with what's going by. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what else. Does that happen when you're listening to your own music is my question. Does that happen when you're listening to your own music? Like, or when you're listening to your own music, are you too like critical of it or like true, like picking it apart in your head? Can you relax and listen and enjoy your own music?
I had to put Brian out.
Sorry, thank you. It took me a second to get there, but I knew I was going somewhere.
I think at this point, now that decisions have been made, it's all set in stone. There's no changing any of it. Uh-huh. So I can separate myself a little bit from the music. And I guess as more time passes since in finishing the record, that becomes a little easier, but that's something hard to do. Yeah, I'm always painting.
Brian, any other questions?
That was a good question. If I had it,
it was actually a great
together
question.
Together in my head.
No,
I worked it out.
One foot in front of the other, you got it out, and it was a good question. It was worth the wait.
I just wanted to echo you after building suspense.
If I'm not thinking about how it was made, and I am separating myself from it, it'll take me back to the time of like when I wrote it, what was going on. I think that happens more with my own music.
I see.
Other stuff, though, the soundtrack of what's going on, I love that.
Real quick, before we get to your last performance, not your very last performance, but your last performance live in the studio tonight, where can people find you? What are your Twitter handles, your website, all that good stuff?
Yes, you can find me easily on andrewsamples.com.
Spell it out. There are people that can't spell it.
A-N-D-R-E-W-S-A-M-P-L-E-S. Andrew as in Andrew and samples as in free samples.
But you won't get any free samples on the website.
Correct. Oh yeah, you can listen to some tracks from the record.
Didn't you hear what he just said? Don't give it away for free.
Yeah, I know.
Are you not listening?
That was a test, and you failed.
It's not available for download.
Oh, okay.
You gotta reel them in.
You can stream. You can stream. I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, come in. Stream. You can stream songs. Take a sniff. Take a listen.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Then also Facebook / Andrew Samples Music, Twitter @ Andrew Samples, Instagram @ Andrew Samples, SoundCloud Andrew Samples.
Do you have a social media that you enjoy, or do you not like them all, or are they...
They're all a challenge in their own way, but I think probably the most visited for me is Facebook. It's easier.
Yeah.
I feel like it's... but I don't know. That might change.
What about you, Brian? You seem like you have a very...
I like Twitter.
You love Twitter?
I like Twitter. I also... Wow. Oh, Periscope. Are you aware of Periscope?
No.
The new live streaming app? Like I could pull my camera out and just live stream what's
and
going on right now.
Watch your battery go down.
Watch your battery go down. But people can comment and talk to you in real time, and you're doing like a live stream. So you can sit down and say, hey, I'm going to play you a song, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then it's a live stream. You get immediate feedback. Anyway.
Oh, that's cool.
It's cool. It's called Periscope. Cool, anyway, that's what I'm into.
Did you do Meerkat?
I didn't try Meerkat.
Periscope.
From what I heard with... I hadn't tried Meerkat. Like, I didn't hear about that type of technology until Periscope came out, which is just recently. And I was like, I asked somebody. They were like, Periscope's better. So I said, okay. So anyway.
I'm sorry. No, there's a lot of those. Just, for me, there's so many new Twitters. There's so many Tumblrs. There's Instagram now. There's Periscope, which I haven't even heard of. Now I'm gonna go check that out.
And be like, check it out. God, it's awesome. I like it.
Is it?
I like it a lot. It's live streaming. You get live interaction.
I think new followers. Generations are gonna spend so much time on their phones and their computers, they forget how to live in real time and just not do any of that stuff. Because I see it in the younger generation, they are on their phones nonstop, and it's my hope for you, Andrew. Get out there and play, and get people to your shows. Get them off your phone, off their phones, to listen and be in the moment. Because, dude, that's what life is about.
But you got to promote it through your social media. That they have to be looking at their phones.
I just hope this movement happens so exponentially that the shit hits the fan really quickly. And then everyone's like,
lost. Oh my God, yes.
They don't have their phones anymore. We've lost contact.
Well, you know what's funny? I think about the Beatles. Like, if the Beatles came out right now, like, let's say this is the time they were released, I think people would be like, yeah, they're all right. I don't know. I think they would have been dropped after the second record.
Yeah, I mean, with their very early music, with their pop, their pop music. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, people wouldn't care. And, like, the way music is so special to me. And it's like, you know what? I do put my phone down to
listen to understand. Music. I don't even understand why people listen to the music that they listen to now. Like, can they care about, like,
a DJ?
Some soulless? Yeah, like do they care about that?
You know, I love electronic music and I love DJs. Mm-hmm. But I like DJs that actually perform and, like, create something, create a space or a vibe, like, when you're there.
Right.
It's not like pushing the space bar. But what I love about doing this show is showcasing artists like yourself. Sure. Well, you're playing the music here. You've taken the time to construct a song, prepare the performance, and deliver it. And, like, that thing is so special. And, like, I hope people, you know, I know a lot of people are tuning into shows like this now, which is great.
Right.
You know, like, that is what technology, I think, is for, is to create another avenue for artists to be heard. But my worry is for the new generation is, like, people – I mean, it's hard for people to even get through a 3-minute song or a 4-minute song these days because their phone is ringing or getting a text or an update from the new app that's happening, you know, now.
I'm sorry. What was that? I was looking at my phone. Sorry.
I saw the setup. Just reeling in your eyes. Anyways, Andrew, what are you going to play us next?
Well, okay. I'm a little on the fence.
He's like, I don't know. I'm kind of looking at my Twitter right now. Can I get back to you?
I can play a nice upbeat one, or I can do something a little more
racy.
Feeling. What are you guys in the mood for?
I'll let Brian choose this. He's our guest host for the night.
I like upbeat.
Okay, let's stick with upbeat.
Let's stick with that.
Well, this one's going to be a real shocker. All right. Do we need any setup here?
No, what's the name of it?
It's called Medicine.
Medicine. Can I tell you a funny story real quick?
Yes.
When I was like 6 years old, I was like, if I was going to join a metal band, it'd be called Medicine.
I can't believe there isn't a metal band named Medicine.
I know! You know?
Should be called Medicine.
Medicine.
My kid band was, and this is before Rage Against the Machine, Rage.
Ooh, that's awesome! That's good. Wow.
How old were you when you had Rage?
That was maybe around fifth grade.
So when Rage Against the Machine came out, you were like, damn.
What was your rage that you were having in fifth grade?
I don't know. I mean, I probably had a lot of anger, but I think at the time I just
you're like stupid.
I love
2+2. Yeah.
And I took a CD jewel case, emptied out the artwork, and then made my own.
I don't think you listened to it. I think you took it and you made something crazy with it. All that rage.
Because this song came from a point of rage.
Oh, all right. We like that.
It's called Medicine.
Excellent. Here it comes.
Am I live? Can you hear me?
Yeah, all right.
Out of all things, for better or for worse, is something that gets me out of my bed. Out of all things, for better or for worse, is something that gets me out of my bed and out of my head. I bet if we could talk about the future more, then maybe we might have it all back. And didn't we think by holding on to all the things that broke us down, we get it all back? You say you want different, but I don't need a reason to explain the things I do. I'm sick of all your screaming.
Yeah. Very nice indeed. What was the inspiration behind that song?
I think that's probably the oldest song on the album. The inspiration behind that song is it's about being frustrated with depression and self-medicating and having everybody tell you, you know what you need, you know what you need, and it's like, you know what you need.
Did you have personal experience with that?
It's a very angry song. Yeah. Yes,
I see that. I can tell.
You had personal experience with that type of situation?
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You were like, you need some medicine, people.
No, you do.
Well, a lot of people like to, you know... You know what? You need...
Give advice. People like to give advice.
People like to feel important.
Yeah, they do. They like to tell you, don't give it away for free. Too,
hey! Hey! Oh,
no, that's good advice. Sorry.
And I'm riding solo here. And I'm just kidding.
He shot you. He's blown you up.
I know. I'm still standing, though. It's being vegan, really, gives me superpowers.
And diarrhea. Just kidding.
So when you're writing a song, you know, I assume you've written many songs over the years. Is there a point... when you give up on one and you're just like, I can't take this any further, and how do you like make that decision to like you have something you love
how
like
do you decide when one needs to die?
Yeah, when one needs to die. Do you just hit a fake bomb and blow it up like Nikki does or yeah, like that.
Sometimes, you know, you just have to know when it's not working. I try I personally try to finish it anyway, mm-hmm. and like whether I finish it or not, when it's done and it's something that didn't work well, I'm gonna feel like shit.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna make me feel like shit until a new, better song comes along.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah.
And do you have to? You feel like you have to go through that those processes to get to the great song to like force yourself?
Absolutely. You got
through boundaries.
You gotta keep writing.
What's the longest you've ever taken to write a song? Because this happened to me recently. Oh. That's why I'm asking.
Gosh, just that question makes me hurt.
Yeah. Well, tell me.
Thinking about a song that takes a long time and you finish it. Even though it doesn't want to be finished, the longest. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's maybe 6 months.
I recently had a tune that, and I write. I'm pretty prolific, but this riff, I was like, it was not wanting to be written. Mm. It took me 6 years.
What?
To write the song, yeah.
So you had the guitar part.
You know me, Brian. You know I can just like churn them up.
Yeah, just churn them up.
I let it go. I came back to it, and I was like, it was always just like no, like no. It was definitely a prissy bitch of a song. Like it really was. And then I was in Austin, and I realized it was actually a cool moment because I hadn't been to Austin in 6 years, and I ended up writing the song about Austin. So the whole song is about 6th Street in Austin, Texas.
It just needed and it, you to get to Austin.
It needed me to get to Austin. Mm. So like it was like this, oh, I get it. Get it now. Like sometimes songs, they're just ahead of you. They're just just know a little bit more about you than you know about yourself. So
that is definitely true.
You know what I mean? So that's why I wanted to ask you that question. And Brian, you kind of tapped on that. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I have to ask this question because I don't know anybody that's taken that long.
And I've even seen songs predict my future.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like,
well, tell us a story about that.
I gotta hear
that. Like, just later on in life, I'll like be like, whoa, I wrote that, and it totally happened. Or maybe it totally happened because I wrote that, and I was already, like, willing it.
Well, maybe it's 50% of each, you know? It's like...
Yeah, it's just funny.
Predestined, you know, and also you made it happen.
A little bit, yeah.
Weird.
I would agree with that.
Music is that magical thing.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, you have been an awesome guest, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Great time.
One more time, tell everybody where you're playing. Give us the month, the date,
Bar
the year, the whole bit.
Bar Lubitsch. Yes. However you want to say it, I'm going to be there on May the 19th at 8 o'clock p.m.
All right.
And Tuesday. Is it just a guy and a guitar, or do you got a full band, or what's the situation?
For this particular occasion, I'm going to have a friend back me up with some piano, and I'm going to bounce around to the piano and stuff, too.
Awesome.
So it'll be a kind of an acoustic set with piano and guitar, yeah.
Cool. Nice. Nicely done. Yeah. And one more time with your website and your Twitter and all that good stuff.
AndrewSamples.com. You can follow me on Twitter at AndrewSamples, Instagram at AndrewSamples. You can listen to me on AndrewSamples.com, streaming from SoundCloud.
Soon to be Periscope, I assume, since I'm... selling that.
Maybe. Just kidding. You were like, hard selling that. Yeah. Nobody bought it.
Nobody
it's
bought
okay.
It.
Hey, come maybe on, you're ahead of your time. Said. Maybe
I know.
Maybe
I know.
It's going to be a year from now. Everybody's going to be like, oh my God, I'm selling that on Twitter anymore. I'm on Periscope. Right. What about you? And then I'll just literally just be like, and that's when I'm done. Anyways, thank you guys for joining us for another edition of Wake Up Hollywood. Brian, give us your websites and all your
you can find
stuff.
Me at thesexyvegan.com. I am on all social media places, including what did I just say? Periscope. as the Sexy Vegan, I have two cookbooks. They're called the Sexy Vegan Cookbook, Extraordinary Food from an Ordinary Dude, and Sexy Vegan's Happy Hour at Home. And that's all of my stuff.
I have that one.
He has that one.
Well, check Brian out. Check Andrew out. And you know what? We'll see you here next week.